welcome Gianfranco Fattorini, and he's going to talk about the Human Rights Council because of his experience. He's got wide experience as a journalist, but he's also got experience of that body.
Merci.
Thank you very much. I wish to first of all thank the Russell Tribunal for this honor that I've been given today to make a short presentation. For the last 17 years, I have been a representative to the United Nations on the movement against racism and for the friendship among peoples. At the beginning, it used to be called Movement Against Racism, Anti-Semitism, and for Peace. It was created under the Nazi regime. It was a movement of Jewish. The movement was then created in 1944 by a group of escaped of resistance who were members of the Communist Party and who were intellectuals with whom we know the painter Chagall, and was created under the name of Movement Against Racism, Anti-Semitism, and for Peace. It is only in the 1970s that the chair of the fundamental achievement within and international environment to change the name to Movement Against Racism and for Friendship Among Peoples. So the Movement Against Racism and for Friendship Among Peoples acquired 2004 its status to ECOSOC the same year that PLO was then accepted as an observer status. This is to say how the issue of Israel and Palestinian matters are in the heart of everyone. It is to also say that we do not accept at all any accusation of anti-Semitism within its movement, with its peoples, and with this organization. Criticize the policies followed by Israeli government does not in any case mean anti-Semitism. The issue of Palestine within the human rights, and before that it was the Commission on Human Rights, we have to keep in mind that the Commission on Human Rights and the Human Rights Council are two organs that of the United Nations. It is not not a group of human rights defenders or militants, activists. So the work of these two organs reflect indeed the balances, the international balances. Now, to talk about the Palestine is a work that was done by the Human Rights Council that was, in our view, it was kind of shoved away rapidly. The normative work initially started by the Declaration of Human Rights, as well as the Palestinian issue. I will talk about the right, Article 3, interdiction of forced exile, Article 9, interdiction of arbitrary arrest and torture, right to nationality, Article 15, right to property, Article 17, article of expression and liberty, freedom of speech, Article 20. So the issue of Palestine was touched on for the first time in 1968, following the War of 6 Days, and that's why it adopted the first resolution. This was unanimous adoption. That means that it is the only resolution on the Palestinian matter that the United States also voted on. And the United States reaffirmed the immediate return of those internally displaced refugees following the hostilities. At that moment, Israel was a member of the Human Rights Council, but did not take part in the vote. The year after, the commission then considered the issue of the Palestine and talked about
les expulsions, déportations et le recours à la violence. Elle a également la commission dénoncé les violations de la 4e convention de Genève.
The commission also denounced the violation of the 4th convention of Geneva in 1969. At that moment, the commission then decided to inscribe the issue of Palestine as a distinctive agenda item of the work of the Human Rights Council. And then the commission was divided here at this point. For the Western Bloc, including the United States, and one vote against, that was from itself. That would submit its report and once again denounce the violation of the 4th Convention, expulsion, the establishment of colonies, settlements, as well as the violence in the at that moment, we saw the emergence of language of the Israeli government that was presenting itself as a victim on the ground. That is to say that what is done is to protect the Israeli people because there's a danger, and a victim on the international scene. Why take too much attention on us? We cannot consider the work of the Human Rights Commission without taking other speakers already mentioned earlier, is the organizations, the General Assembly, the Special Committee that was created in 1968, which was to carry out investigation on the Palestinian issue and the occupied territories. The Special Committee on Israel talked about the confiscation of material, the transport of Israel, and this establishment of settlements. The committee also pointed out the constant violations again of the 4th Convention. In 1974, the General Assembly inscribed the matter, the agenda item of Palestine, on its agenda. The year after, the General Assembly set up the Committee of Unalienable Rights of the Palestinian People, and the outcome of this committee in 1973 was divided into two parts. The very first one is right to return and the ownership, and the second was self-determination, independence, and sovereignty. 1970s and early 80s, the Human Rights Commission point out to the violations, deportation, confiscation of land, interference in the educational, judicial systems, the restriction of movements, lack of freedom of movement, torture. The Commission of the Human Rights calls upon the state parties to respect the terms. The Commission also underscores grave violations of the 4th Convention as war crimes, that all actions taken by Israel to change the demographic aspect of the land, of occupied land, is null and void. We are now in 1993, The first intifada, the Commission of the Human Rights reaffirms the right of the Palestinian people to their rights and appoints a special rapporteur under the violations of the human rights. Since then, five persons have been nominated to that post of a special rapporteur with vindictive eyes from Israel, and they've always contradicted and said, and always played the role of being the victim. In 2000 is the second intifada. The commission created the special session and is the only one on Palestinian that was held to examine the serious and massive violations of Palestinian rights by the occupier, Israel. Established an investigation team to carry out a mission on the occupied territories. It was the very first kind of its sort. The visit in 2000 in occupied territories, it was Madam Mary Robinson. So after 20 years and 40 reports that were established by the special rapporteur through the human rights to the General Assembly, they were able to highlight the violations, be it economic, human, cultural, and fundamental human rights of the Palestinian, and the human rights condemned the excessive use of force, as well as the violations, the grave violations of the Fourth Convention. 2006, the transformation of the Commission of the Human Rights into the Human Rights Council that was initiated under the Secretary General Kofi Annan's mandate, that is done between under the government of Bush in the United States. 15th March 2006, the General Assembly adopted the resolution that established the creation of the Human Rights Council. 170 countries, 4 against: United States, Israel, Island Palau, and Marshall Islands. 3 countries withhold their votes. So there were 3 sessions, one in Geneva and other in New York. One of the continuous action of the United States was to support Israel to ensure that the distinctive point agenda item be removed out of the agenda. But they were not successful, indeed, because it was maintained, agenda item. So the Human Rights Council has been and continues to do so, consider the Commission of the Human Rights. The Human Rights Council meets 3 times a year, unlike its predecessor. At any of the sessions, the matter of the violation of the human rights of occupied territories, the rapporteurs always submit their reports, and here we saw certain personal attacks against the rapporteur. That was the case of John Singler, that was the case recently of Richard Ford. So none of the member states defended them, even though in other occasions, particularly the Western countries, the United States in particular, always defend the independence of rapporteur. The liberty of the Human Rights Council is to convene special sessions. In the very first years, 5 special sessions were convened on the issue of Palestine, of which in 2009, January, that followed the operation, to recommend to the special rapporteur to bring the attention and to bring forth the establishment of the facts of a report that would be known under the report of Goldstone. In October 2009, the Human Rights Council asked for the implementation of the recommendations, and this was already said that in 2009, with the new administration, the United States became a member of the Human Rights Council. So the very first attendance of the main activities of the Human Rights Council was to put pressure so that the Goldstone report is not adopted, and it's only following the pressure from the civil society from Palestine that there was a special extraordinary session that was proposed after 2 weeks of 2009 September session. So I'm being told that time is going and I need to move on. I would like to recall, as already said, and it's very important to talk about that there have been several committees. There is that on the rights of the child, the rights against racism, and the last one this year was invited the State of Israel to cease all political activities and to remove all laws that brings in racism and apartheid as well as segregation. So what is the role of the United Nations within the Human Rights Council? As I indicated, between 2006 and 2009, the Bush administration, taken by its fight against terrorism, did not want to fully participate in the negotiations. They wanted an organ that would be rather limited, that the Security Council would then supervise with the same rights of veto as the Security Council, and that the members should then themselves, given that the members of the Human Rights Council need to meet the criteria of human rights criteria, given that the misdeeds in Iraq and elsewhere. That's why the United States did not want to take part to be a member. It is in 2009, with the coming of Obama, that Hillary Clinton presented the new doctrine of the foreign policy, U.S. foreign policy, the smart power. The smart power is a combination of hard power proposed by the Pentagon and the soft power proposed by Howard, that talks about the contact, diplomatic contact, contact with other people through the culture. So it was a mixture of the two. The concept was presented in 2004 in the review of foreign policy, and became the liberal international policy. And this was in confrontation with the Republican policy through the different, be it economic, military, political, as well as legal. There's more focus on the self-determination and the human rights of the people. Indeed, the author of Smart Power talked about the sharing of roles, that the involvement of the United States is not always the best, and that the interest is very important in the involvement of others in achieving the objective set. The main objective, therefore, was not to take place within the Human Rights Council to realize the objectives of the United Nations: peace, security, development, economic and social ones. The objective was to assure the supremacy of the United States in a more smart way. I now would like to point out that the Deputy Director of the policy review that had in 2011 made a presentation to create awareness on the renewal of the mandate of the United States to the Human Rights Council, and the title of the document was U.S. Must Stay in the Security Council, in the Human Rights Council. It first of all criticized the idea of Bush, and here I'd like to cite this in English.
I wonder if we could just use that. I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're worried about time, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I am finished.
Je suis désolé.
2 minutes, je vous.
It's very important to understand the policy of the United States within the human rights system.
So Israel was left without a traditional ally as it faced 5 special sessions while the U.S. was absent. Since the U.S. joined the Council in June 2009, Israel has been the subject of only 1 special session. Reducing the disproportionate focus on Israel is just one example of the impact of that constructive U.S. engagement has had in turning things around.
So, in this manner, the intervention of the United States in other places and other places, the
Human Rights Council has a structural basis against Israel by having an open-ended item on its agenda on Israel's occupation of Palestine. The U.S. worked hard to defend Israel against such base.
So, this is what we can see. It seems like it's like a crow talking on behalf of the pigeons. When the last two sessions of the Human Rights Council, there was no resolution that was taken in the Palestinian matter. At the end of March, after the final observation of the Committee Against Racism, the next week, the adoption of the resolution of the Human Rights Council that decided on the establishment of a new mission on Israel colonies and the impact of that on Palestine, Israel announced publicly its rupture with the Council of Human Rights, as well as the High Commissioner for Human Rights. Actually, Israel is negotiating its negotiation back to the Council. What does that mean? Does it mean that what is being negotiated is what's going to be on the agenda as regards the territory, occupied territories? Is it about throwing away the report of the establishment of facts, fact-finding mission, the Goldstone report? Is it also the annulation of the last resolution that was adopted? In our view, there's no single state that can negotiate its membership. You're either a member or not. Either you participate in the realization of the objectives of the Charter of the United Nations or not. But the actual position of Israel, in our view, calls on to the withdrawal of its vote within the General Assembly. Finally, in conclusion, the main issue, the main question that we have to ask the U.S. administration is to read the report of the special rapporteurs and to replace in all the reports at each line the word Israel or armed Israeli forces by Palestine or armed Palestine, and to change the occupied territory belonging to Israel, and then in this manner we'll be able to see what will be the attitude of the U.S. administration. I thank you.
How are we doing for time? Well, I'm going to ask just one quick question, but the question is this. Given Israel's attitude and blatant disregard, consistent disregard of the United Nations as General Assembly, Security Council, the HRC and its subsidiary bodies. Given also the US's power of veto, its blocking mechanisms on the Human Rights Council, the question we're posing in this session is, what's the way forward?
Well,
there is no blockage mechanism inside the Human Rights Council. Most often the United States asks for a vote. Very often they're all alone to vote against. The Western Bloc, Europe and other countries often abstain, but there is no blockage to the decision. Now the big question is how can we go forward? How can we go beyond to have international law respected? An element would be, of course, to end the reform of the United Nations and effectively reform also the Security Council. Another question in relation, because I didn't have enough time to talk about it, concerning the High Commission of the Human Rights, the budget which is allocated by the General Assembly to this committee represents 2% of the total budget of the United Nations. And it only covers a third, approximately, of the regular budget. That means two-thirds, the High Commission of the Human Rights of the United Nations is a big NGO that every year must go look for money to in order to accomplish its mission. So there's already a need of change of decisions at the governmental level in the allocation of the budget. And the other big question is that effectively we often say the United States use the veto. They say no to the United States. They say also that they might finish their funding, so they're already cutting it. The High Commission of the Human Rights, the director department has already been asked for next year to make propositions on budgetary cuts. But the question is that maybe it is necessary to change also the repartition of contributions in the United Nations. As long as we leave such an important part of the budget to one state, it is too easy for that state to impose its will. Merci beaucoup. Thank you.
Stefan Hessel, please.
Let me pause. I'll take English because I think it is more heard, although Mr. Rankini has been very good at speaking my language. I would say this. Do we have a chance of some progress even this year? I would say yes, and I will explain why. First of all, let me recall that the one who adopted the charter, Franklin Roosevelt, put the human rights as the very first objective of the New World Organization, even before war and peace. And that's very important. And for years, you couldn't have a support of the work for human rights done by the United Nations from the United States. But for the past 15 years, this has completely changed. The last time I was member of the Commission on Human Rights, that was in 1993. At that time, we had President Carter, I think it was, and there was still great support. That has diminished, and we have to put our emphasis on the Federation, the U.S. Federation for the United Nations, which has a role to play, to say that the way the United Nations is not supporting human rights and trying to restrict the work of the council, pretending that the council is not fair, that it is not does not have a majority of real democratic countries. It's all pure nonsense. And the Council on Human Rights has a possibility to work with a high commissioner coming from South Africa, a brilliant jurist, Mrs. Pillai. What we can do is to get the General Assembly, and particularly the third commission of the General Assembly, which is meeting presently here in the United Nations, to say we, in a great majority, because they are 192 members, like all the other commissions of the General Assembly, if that third commission made a resolution saying we consider that the Council on Human Rights and the High Commissioner for Human Rights must be allowed to play a greater role, and that they particularly should be more active in the field of Palestine and Israel, such a movement by a member state, why not Brazil, why not Mexico, could have a majority. And that majority, even in the days and months to come, could make an impact, because it is true that now the majority of member nations are not in the same position than Israel, United States, the Marshall Islands, and what was the fourth? I don't remember who voted.
Palau.
They are not in that position. There is a great majority for going the way we feel we must go. Thank you.
Oui, en effet, j'abonderai même.
I would add also that we need to be more present in the General Assembly. We need to be more present in the committee that we will go see tomorrow. But I would like to invite all the organizations that work with that committee to come to Geneva, to the Human Rights Council. That has another impact, we know it. We sometimes pay the price, because there has never been so many NGOs excluded from the council that were suspended, even eliminated, to which the statute was taken away since the council exists. Why? Because before it was a restricted club. Today, the meetings of the council are on the webcast, like ourselves today, and that is important. And that hurts also, but it is good for people, because people can see that their questions are taken into account. Unfortunately, the work of the committee is very important, but they're not known. So I invite all the NGOs that work here in New York to look for the ways to participate in the sessions of the council. And I must say even that a Palestinian organization, still last week, wanted to intervene. Don't dare to say certain things, because of the funding sources. So we respect that, but we think it's unfortunate. We are independent, we can say what we think. So we invite all the people who work on this question to find the ways to participate also to the sessions and the work of the Commission on Human Rights. Thank you.